Yeah, I wanted to take up a couple of Rashi's. Rashi in the Shmini and Pasuk Zion. The Pasuk says, Yom Moshe Aaron, Krav al HaMizbeach. See Rashi there?
Yeah.
Somebody want to read the Rashi?
Shaya Aaron Bosh V'yare Lageshas. So Aaron was embarrassed and afraid to approach the Mizbeach. Amar lo Moshe. Moshe said to him, Loma ata Bosh L'kach Mikarta. What are you embarrassed for? This is what you were chosen?
Yeah, it's interesting. The Chazal seemed to sense that Aaron had a problem with his self-evaluation, his own feeling of self-worthiness. We have it again in the parsha, where it says that hold on. In Pasuk Chav Beis. Pasuk Chav Gimel. This is Yehovah Moshe Aaron Elo Moed by Yetu. So the question is, why did they go into Elo Moed? What was the purpose of going in there? So Rashi gives two answers. The second answer, take the second answer, Davar Acher.
Okay, Davar Acher. Kivan Shira Aaron Shekarbu Kol Kabanos Benasu Kol Maisnim Bo Yar Dashkin Yisrael. So Aaron saw that after he'd done all the kabbanos, everything, still there was no shechina. Hayim mitzdar, he was upset. Well, Amar, Yodiani shekazakash baruch alai, ubishvili lo yard shechina Yisrael. He says, somehow he knew that it's because Hashem was so angry at him, and that's why the shechina didn't come down. Amar lo Moshe, so Aaron said to Moshe, Moshe achi, kachas tisili, shenichnasti v'nizbayashi, is what you did to me. You made me go in, and now I'm about to be calling Gadol, and I'm embarrassed. Yeah, Nichnas Moshe Imos, and Moshe came in with him today. Chal, Ubik Shirachna, and then Misfalo, but Yard Ashkin Yisrael, and the Shkina came down.
It's a strange dialogue. But you see, one thing you see is that Aaron had a problem with his feelings of unworthiness. His feeling he didn't feel worthy. But we have to go through the different conversations. So let's go back to the first one. In the first one, he said, that he was Bosh.
What pasuk is that?
That's pasuk Zion.
What parak?
Parak, I'm sorry, parak Tess.
Tess.
Shmini. Right? So, what was the first dialogue? It's very hard to trace back the dialogue. What was Moshe saying to Aaron? And what was the problem that Aaron had?
Rebbe, did he have these problems before the Chet Egel?
It doesn't seem so. I think that's a good point. I think the Chet Egel definitely had an emotional effect on him. But it seemed, what was Moshe telling him? Moshe told him, he says, L'kach nefcharta. So what does he mean by L'kach nefcharta? What's the implication of the message? So I was thinking the implication is like, what Moshe told Aaron was, you can't get into this emotion. There's an objective reality here, and you have to pull yourself out of the emotion. So he said to him, L'kach nefcharta, that you may feel that you're not worthy, but the fact is when you look rationally at the situation, you have to say that's just an unruly emotion. And you have to be able to pull yourself out of that emotion and attach yourself to the reality. That was the first dialogue, the emotion hour. Any questions?
What does it mean, l'kach nefcharta, because he was Bosh?
L'kach nefcharta means, look at the objectivity of the situation. the situation is that God chose you, and since he did, you fit the bill. And you have to go through with the action. It's not a time to try to evaluate yourself emotionally. You have to be able to act now without emotions, just based on reality.
Well, I thought he was saying to Aaron that because of your busha, this is why you were chosen.
What do you mean?
Because he says, why are you bosh? He says, Lamata bosh, lekach nevcharta. I thought that lekach, therefore, because you have busha, because you're humble, that's why you were chosen.
You mean that it doesn't seem... Where do you see...
That's just how I read the Rashi. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, the shot is that it means you shouldn't be embarrassed. God chose you for this. What are you embarrassed about? This is what you were selected to do.
Yeah, that's a chetel. It's a nice little chetel.
Right, sure. It is a nice chamar.
Rebbe, was he chosen before the Chet Egel?
What do you mean? He was chosen here to do these chabonis.
Yeah, but when did Hashem tell him when was Aaron chosen to do it?
Do you have the other
right
one?
Here.
What?
Right here.
Right? Okay.
Open that window a little, would you?
You're right in this case.
So that was definitely Chet Egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him even after Aaron's participation in the Chet Egel.
That's correct. That's correct. So even though it was devastating to him emotionally, because he knew she shouldn't have gotten involved with that, but nevertheless, he was chosen. Nevertheless, he was chosen. Okay, so let's take the second Rashi. The second Rashi.
Well, can somebody tell me the parak in the pasuk, please? What?
Es chaf gimel.
Chaf gimel?
Chaf gimel.
And what parak?
Tes.
Tes, thank you.
Everybody please put on your mutes. A lot of background noise.
Yeah. They went into Amor. So, Tavaracha. Kivin Shiro Aaron. Shekorvu Kol Lekabonis. Denasim Kol Amaisim. Lo Yodha Shkin Li Yisrael. Hoya Mitzvah of Amor. Yodei Ani Shekos HaKos Bocho Alai. I know that God was angry at me. Ubishvi Li Lo Yodha Shkin Li Yisrael. Because of me the Shkin didn't go down. Didn't come down. So he felt that he wasn't right to do it. Maybe he felt that he didn't do enough shiva for the Chet Egel, but yet there was some feeling that prevented him from doing it. But it's interesting. He said, Amar Moshe, Moshe Achi, Kacha Sisali, She Nechnasti, Nisbayashti. This is what you did to me. I went in. He chose me, I went in, and I became embarrassed because I did all the ma'asim and the shiur was to no avail. So I was left standing empty-handed like a chote. So you shouldn't have done that to me, because that's not a good emotion. But it's apparently Aaron felt so sure that he wasn't worthy, that he felt even Moshe Rabbeinu knew he wasn't worthy, and he was blaming Moshe Rabbeinu for choosing him. But apparently what happened was that he was paralyzed. He was unable to function. It's an amazing Rashi. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Miyad nichnas Moshe imo ubikshu rachman v'yad ha-shchina Yisrael. So apparently the fact was, the reason why didn't the Shchina come down, because of the fact that he didn't have a good self-evaluation. So because he didn't have a good self-evaluation, so that's why the Shechina didn't come down. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's go in and be mispal. Why did he say be mispal? Because tefillah is the one thing that places a person before Hashem, and in that situation, he evaluates himself. He evaluates his needs, what he needs, what he doesn't need, where he's at. So tefillah is a method of arriving at knowledge of the self.
That's what the Rambam and the Rambam says.
That it's impossible for a person to reach a high level without tshuva. Tshuva is a necessary component. So that's why they went in and they were mispahal. And when they were mispahal, he was able to organize his thoughts and to present himself to himself in the proper way. And then he was able to function. And then and once he had a correct evaluation of the self, so then the Shekhinah did come down. So what obstructed the Shekhinah from coming down was the conflict that he had and his inability to arrive at a proper evaluation of the self. But through tefillah he was able to. Tefillah was the medium that helped him be able to arrive at the proper self-evaluation.
Is there a reason he needed Moshe Rabbeinu with him? He couldn't have... Like, why didn't he just daven on his own? Why did he need Moshe to come and, like, daven with him?
Apparently, he was so short that he was unable to function. He needed Moshe Rabbeinu to help him get back to on his feet. He told him to be mispahal. And not only did he tell him to be mispahal, he said, I'll be mispahal with you. He needed the assistance of Moshe Rabbeinu. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to come through it. It's an amazing Rashi.
See, I don't know.
So distraught, he fell apart. He was unable to function. And he even blamed Moshe Rabbeinu for choosing him. He said, because he thought it was so obvious that he's not Roy, that even Moshe Rabbeinu felt maybe should have known he wasn't Roy. And he shouldn't have appointed him for the job because he's unable to do it. He simply fell apart. And without Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't have been able to get back on his feet.
Moshe Rabbeinu
assisted him, he comforted him, and he put him in the proper emotional state, and then he was able to be Omer Lefnei Hashem, and to be Mispahal. And once he was Mispahal, and he organized his thoughts, and he organized his feelings about himself, then he was able to function, and then the Shekhinah came down. But before that, the Shekhinah couldn't come down because he wasn't functioning as Aaron HaKohen.
How could he accuse Moshe of doing it, kachasisili, is what he did to me. Like, Rashi and like Pasuk Aleph, in Shemini, he says,
Right.
Doesn't Aaron know that it's al pi adibor, God, like another Rashi read, lekach nivcharta. Like God shows him, like what is Moshe? Why is he accusing Moshe? What's Moshe supposed to do? Hashem told him to select Aaron.
Because when Hashem tells you something, it's not just a clear message to do ABC. You have to use it. Use the information. So the information, Aaron felt that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't interpret it properly. And it's true that he may have been Roy to be chosen, but that's only if he's able to organize his emotions. But if he can't, so then he's not able to do it.
And he's saying Moshe should have said something? Moshe should have said something to Kadosh Baruch Hu that Aaron can't do it?
I mean, what should he have done, you mean?
Yeah, like Hashem told Moshe to choose Aaron. So he's saying Moshe should have said something to Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't choose Aaron, choose somebody else because Aaron can't do it.
So he should have said to him, maybe Aaron is Roy and technically, but practically I know he's not able to do it. Because he doesn't have enough self-confidence.
In order to prevent Aaron from being embarrassed, from humiliated, from failing.
That's correct.
He should have realized Aaron would have failed, and he should have protected him from that situation.
Yeah. Should have argued with him.
Right, see, Moshe being the next Rashi on Pasuk, on that same Pasuk.
Yes.
So he says, like...
They want to take that one.
Okay. Do you want to read that one, or?
Yeah, okay, read it, yeah.
Okay, Vayiti Varchas Amr Vahino Am Hashem Elokim Eleinu Yiratzon Shetishra Shechina B'Maseh Edechem. So Moshe and Aaron came out, and they gave this bracha. to Klal Yisrael by Hinoam, that the Shekhinah should rest on the Mishkan that they made. But if you should close Shivat Yimin
on the Maisi Dayim.
Right. Lefisha kol shivas yimei miluhen shemid the Moshe l'mishkan v'shimish bo. So all the shivas yimei miluhen, and then Moshe was the one who was putting up the mishkan, taking it down, and doing the avos in it. Uparku v'chol yom, he took it down every day. Lo shas v'ashchina, so it's just like Moshe going through the motions, but there's no shas v'ashchina. V'yisrael mechlamim v'omim v'Moshe, and Yisrael were also embarrassed, and they were saying to Moshe, Moshe benu. Kol Torah shetarachnu shetishas kina beninu v'nedish nitzchaper lano v'an egel. We did all this effort and we all this energy we put into it that the Shekhinah should rest on amongst us, and we'll know that we have a kapar for the evan egel. V'kach amar, and he says, you know, even though it hadn't happened for all 7 days, so Moshe said then, zedav ashetiv Hashem tasu. Moshe said to them in the beginning of Shemini, this is what Hashem said you should do. V'yer lechem kvod Hashem. Aaron achi kedai v'chashimeni. Aaron, my brother, he's more worthy and more chash significant than I am. Shaydei karbanosa v'avodasa tishra shkina b'chem. Through his karbanos and zavoda, the shkina will rest amongst you. V'teidu shemakam b'chabo, and you'll know that Hashem really chose him.
Yeah, okay. So over here, it's interesting, he said to the people that Aaron, my brother Aaron, is more worthy than me. Because through his karbanos and through his avoda, the Shekhinah will rest upon you. So what does he mean he's more roi? He means, how could he say, why is he saying that my brother is bigger than me? I mean, it's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was Rav and Shekhinah Yisroel, not Aaron. But I think the answer is, you see, he says that you should know that God chose him. The Teidu, you'll know, Shamakom Bacharbo. Now what does that mean that you'll know that it was God chosen? It means that it doesn't mean that God chose him like by Korach. By Korach, they were saying that he wasn't worthy. But over here, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is that on the contrary, he is the perfect person, and you should feel happy and secure that you have the right person to perform the action of the Avodah. And therefore, that should give you a tremendous sense of security and a good feeling. Not jealous, not to remove jealousy, but on the contrary, you know you have the right Oved Avodah, the one that's going to bring about the Kabbalah
of the abundance.
So because of that, you should feel a certain sense of security and a sense of gratitude and a sense of happiness in our kind of Avodah. And then, what does he mean he's bigger than me? It means for this job he's better, because we know that Aaron HaKohen was Marba Shalom among Klal Yisrael. So therefore the Lev Ha'am is closer to Aaron than to Moshe. That's why it says by the Levaya of Aaron HaKohen, Lev is Kobes Yisrael, the whole congregation, because they felt this tremendous kinship and attachment to Aaron because of the way he executed his role of being Marber Shalom among Klal Yisrael. So therefore, he is more appropriate for this job than I am. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told him. But this doesn't have to do with Aaron HaKohen himself feeling unworthy. That's the two previous rashis. This has to do with the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael that he shouldn't feel any type of self-questioning, but on the contrary, you feel secure because Aaron HaKohen is the one that can bring about the Kabbalah of the Karbanos. Any questions?
So for 7 days, Moshe was like building up Aaron in the eyes of the people? For like those seven days? It's like for the seventh Shivas Yimei Miluhin, like Moshe was building up Aaron in the eyes of the people. That he's the one who it's all going to happen with. Like, it was like a whole week of no Shina, but Moshe kept saying to them that Aaron, my brother, he's the one who's Kedai and Roy, and he's like building him up over the course of a week. So you can see like why in the eighth.
No. In other words, no, what happened was, take a look at Rashi. What happened was that they were working hard. They thought the Shekhinah would come down. And it didn't come down. So Moshe Rabbeinu said that Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziv Hashem, Tasu, Yer Lechem for Hashem. In other words, there was something that was being ma'akev Dasher Hashem. What was it? Do you see what it was? Rashi saying. The fact that they weren't satisfied with that with Aaron. They didn't have confidence in Aaron. So if they don't have confidence in him, so then the Ashur Hashin is not possible. The Ashur Hashin is only possible if Aaron has a proper self-evaluation, and if also, if the people have a correct evaluation of Aaron, and they feel a certain simcha that there's going to be a Kabbalah's in Ashur Hashin. If they don't feel that, so then it's not going to work. That's what it is, Zeh HaDavar. Not that all the 7 days was to build up Aaron. There was a problem, because the Ashur Hashin should have come already. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is what you have to do.
If you say that the reason it was done that way was to show them that, like, they thought Moshe is the best person for this, but this process showed them that really Aaron's better than Moshe for this job. Like, that's part of why it happened for 7 days and nothing happens, to show them that Moshe is not the right guy for the job. It's really Aaron.
That's correct. But not only that, but that they have to have the feeling that Aaron's right.
Right.
They have to feel that. In other words, the person's carbon is on the highest level. He's only accepted if he's in the right, exactly has the right frame of mind. So the fact that there was an obstruction was for their benefit, to show them that there's something wrong with the way you're looking at the situation. And you should look at the situation on the contrary, that you should be happy with Aaron, joyful, because he's the best man alive to do it. So your kapara will be accepted if he does it, and if you are happy with him doing it. And the happiness with him stems from the fact that he was a person that was always Marbar Shalom and Manklal Yisrael, more than Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he meant. He didn't mean that he's bigger than me in Lamedus. He's a bigger Navi than me. He meant he's bigger than me in terms of bringing about this Kapara.
But maybe that's also what, like when Aaron was complaining to Moshe, maybe he was referring to the fact that Moshe had said that for a week, like built it up for a week. And then when it didn't happen, like he's saying, like Hashem did choose Aaron, but Moshe for that whole week was telling everybody, Aaron's the best, Aaron's the best. And then when it didn't happen, that really created like a certain busha for Aaron.
Correct.
Rabbi, what does spreading shalom have to do with being the Kohen Gadol and performing Karbana?
Excuse me.
Why is it necessary for Aaron to have the approval of Bnei Israel in order to be the one worthy of bringing the Karbana?
Because there has to be a relationship between the Shaliach and the Tzibur. He's a Shaliach Tzibur. The Tzibur is not happy with him. So then it lacks in his being a Shliach Tzibur. Even in our times,
when it's not the time of
Moshe Rabbeinu with his Ashur Shchina, but even in our times, when you choose a Baal Tzila for Yom HaRoyim, you have to choose somebody that the Tzibur likes. If somebody is hated by the Tzibur, you're not supposed to choose him for a Shliach Tzibur. He can't function as a Shliach Tzibur if the Mishaleach is not happy with him. What he has to do is he has to be able to bring together the lev ha'am.
Okay.
That's what the Shliach Tzibur has to do.
Right.
Unless he's merutza al hakol. That's why, like I said, that's why you can't take a Shliach Tzibur to Yom HaRoyim who's not merutza al hakol. Mm. That's to be accepted by everybody. has been wanted by everybody, appreciated by everybody.
And what, and that changed, I mean, and then the people's perception of Aaron changed once Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess, made sure that, that Aaron was the right one, meaning like whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did during those 7 days that, that, got their approval for Aaron.
Yes.
I mean, like, what, so what changed really? I mean, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said that he was, the right one, or it was Aaron who changed his, I guess, mindset, or whatever he changed.
No, he convinced them.
He just convinced them.
He convinced them, yeah. Doesn't, the Torah doesn't expand on it, but he apparently was able to convince them.
Okay. And just another question, so did Moshe Rabbeinu originally notice something was off with Aaron when he called him to come close to the Mizbeach? Or he just assumed that he would just be the right person for it?
Yeah, say it again, what's the question?
Did Moshe Rabbeinu know from the onset that there was something off with Aaron?
No, he didn't.
He didn't know.
Aaron thought that he did. Aaron said that he should have argued for me not to take it.
Meaning Aaron should have argued to, against Moshe, saying that I'm not really...
Aaron saying that Moshe Rabbeinu should have argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should have said that he's not able to do it. Like I said, in Nevuah, we have a very immature idea of Nevuah. We think Nevuah is a hocus pocus. It just tells you what to do when you do it. Nevuah just gives you das, and you have to really have to be a couple of das and incorporate it the way you understand it. So that's what I was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was saying, when you receive that Nevuah, you should have argued for me, because you know I'm not really Roy.
Uh-huh.
And that was your mistake.
I see. So how come he didn't tell him that before he brought the Karban?
What's that?
Did he tell him that before he brought the Karbanos?
Did he what?
Did Aaron tell that to Moshe before he brought the Karbanos?
No, he just told him after he saw he couldn't bring it. At first, Moshe Ben just told him what the Nevuah said, and he thought maybe he'll be able to do it, but he got stricken with the guilt and with the ego, and he was unable to function.
So once he finally realized he really wasn't unable to function, that's when he started to daven, and that's when he organized his thoughts. And he couldn't do that before, because he didn't fully realize it.
That's correct.
Okay. My next question was why didn't he daven before? But okay.
Yeah, let's take, what was the machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron? But he's eating the chatas. It's in Rashi on Pasuk Yutes. Yachalti Chatasim. Right, Ayita Bene Hashem. You have the Rashi?
Yeah. The last one, Im Shemati B'Kadshei Shah, in the Chalahakya B'Kadshei Doros. It's because you heard that Tuma, or Aninus, is Doche Kadshei Shah, the Miluim, but who says the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, which Kadshei Doros, would apply.
So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he was Mufka from Aninus. Because you see, he was able to do the Karbanos. Because God said to him that you're not an Onan. So Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that there was a Afkor of Aaron's Aninus, because he was able to bring the Karbanos. But Aaron said to him, no, that's only in Kadshei Shah, but not in Kadshei Doros. So what does it mean? It means that he wasn't Mufka from being from Aninus. There was no Afkor from Aninus. But what was there? There was a Matir to be Makrif Kadshei Shah because of the Tzorach HaShah. Because of the Tzorach HaShah, is a matir to be makriv the kochei shah. But kochei doros, now you don't, there's no matir over there. So that's why I refrained from eating it. So that was the machlokas between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he was mufka from aninus b'chalal. And since that's the case, he's mufka from aninus, so then he could eat anything. Kochei shah, kochei doros, it wouldn't be any difference. But Aaron said, no, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat is that it's not a hafkor of aninus. It's simply a matir on the kochei shah because the tzorach hashah demands that they be done. But kochei doros, korbanos in general, there's no demand that they should be done. It's a regular korbanos. So there's no matir. Since there's no matir, so I can't bring them because I'm an owner. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Aaron was right in that machlokes. Machlokes in Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu is like machlokes in Tanoim. And it turns out that Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. Aaron was right. Apparently Aaron had a better intuition when it came to this area because that was his area of Kabbanis. Actually, you don't have to find a reason. Moshe Rabbeinu could be wrong. Even though he's Moshe Rabbeinu, doesn't mean that Aaron HaKohen, who's his Talmud, can't be right when he is against him. He's not always right. The Rebbe isn't always right. So that was the Machlokes. But the one thing I want to show you, what is Muchach from this? What's Muchach is that a Nevuah, which a person receives, is not simple. You have to... It's received by the rational faculty, so therefore it has to be analyzed and has to be set up straight. It's not a simple thing. You find that also by Bezalel when you have with Moshe Rabbeinu, Shem Vasil Kel, that he had to make the Mishkan first, and then the Kel. Moshe Rabbeinu thought the opposite. So when he was right against Moshe Rabbeinu there too. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu called him Bezalel. Shem Vetzel Kelo Yisro. They used your rationality, your reason, and you interpreted the Nevuah in the right way. But that's the point I want to make that I mentioned before too. That Nevuah should not be looked upon as a simple type of thing. Like you just get a message and you do what the message tells you and that's it. It's received by the rational faculty and you have to accept it. You have to think about it. You have to think into it and determine how it's supposed to be used. But it's not an answer book. It's not a magic reception. Yeah, Aaron, what do you want to say?
No. How did Moshe know in the end of the day that Aaron was correct? Like maybe he has legitimate tzvah. How does he know which one is the correct?
I guess his intuition.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mirashi there says, Hodevelo Boshlomar Lo Shamati. Sounds like it's...
Maybe there's another answer. That the answer is that you always take the least in terms of being right. Matir. And the least is to say that it's just a Matir over here. That's the least. To say there's Afkov... B'chlal is a big move, so you always take the least move that you have to take. So therefore, Aaron was right that since the Nevuah was received by Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Nevuah didn't determine which way it was, so you have to take the least one. The least one is that it's just a matir and not a hafkor. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah. Also, I think you have to say that also is because, like, why didn't Aaron, like, if there really is, like, two ways to formulate it, like, shouldn't Aaron ask Moshe Rabbeinu? Like, why isn't that, like, his two sons died because they're more alacha of Meirabo. Like, shouldn't
right.
if there's two possibilities, you should ask Moshe Rabbeinu to resolve it. So, but, like, what you're saying now is, like, that you have a right to assume the smaller chiddush. Like, that is the proper methodology. You don't even have to ask a shiloh about that because that was... You know, that was the right methodology. Like, even though there is another possibility, like, you don't have to be choshesh for the bigger chiddush unless somebody tells you to.
Right, in other words, Yeah, so what are you saying?
Hey, well, why didn't he ask Moshe? I mean, there are two possibilities. Why didn't he have to, how could he paskin that shayla without asking Moshe? I mean, what the halacha is, if there really is another possibility out there. Like another one of you got killed, according to Rashi. One of the reasons, because there are more halacha within their rabbi, they should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu. About bringing the extra fire on the Mizbech, whatever it was. So why didn't Aaron have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu? There really are two possibilities. How can he burn it without asking first?
You mean, how can he more halacha within their rabbi?
Right.
The answer is, what's the answer? The answer is, he didn't see it as a shayla.
Right.
He saw it as clear cut.
Right. You more halacha is only where it's like there's a shayla. You mean you can't resolve a shayla, but if he says it's clear to him, then that's not more. Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's correct. Yeah, but what the parsha does is it removes. If you read the Chazal that we went through. It removes the primitive idea of it being a Nevuah being like a simple answer book. It isn't. It's just something that's given to the person. How and what it's given, we don't know the method, but it's information that's given which it has to be analyzed by the rational faculty and determined where how to implement it. And that's why you have these cases. You have the case over here. You have the case by Betzalel. Because all those cases show that Nevuah is not a simple thing. You can't look at it in a primitive way.
Not really a question then. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, the Rev ones. What is the worst thing that you see today in Kol Yisrael? He said primitivism. You know, we're going to start.
That isn't there Rambam in the Mora where he says like one of the purposes of the Akedah is to show that like when a Navi gets something, it's like absolutely clear to him and he has like no doubt what it means, or else how could Abraham be willing to kill Yitzchak unless like a Navi has like no question about the nature of the Nevuah or something? Like it's
different thing. He has no suffering about the process. But the process is a rational process. And when he sees and he understands the rationality of the whole Kabbalah, the whole Nevuah, Kabbalah's Nevuah, then he's certain. But if he has shadows about it, he can't be certain.
So the Akedah shows you that when he gets a Nevuah, he's certain that it is a Nevuah, but ultimately to resolve what the Nevuah means, he has to use the rational mind.
Yeah, we'll say it again.
No, I'm just trying to resolve like those two things. Like what the Akedah shows you that a Navi has 100% certainty when he gets Nevuah that it is a Nevuah, I guess.
Right. But that's when he's satisfied with the interpretation.
But the interpretation itself is like contingent on his you know, rational mind determining what it means and things like that.
Yes. Right, correct.
And Abraham was, I guess, just convinced enough to be willing to kill Yitzchak, even though he still had to use his mind to interpret the Nevuah.
That what?
I'm just saying, by Abraham. So he, even though he has to use his mind to understand the Nevuah, that doesn't create any doubt in the Navi's mind, as long as he, like, thinks it through.
That's correct.
I guess I'm guessing, right.
He's secure in his Nevuah when he understands it. But that's why Aaron, when somebody asked the question before, Aaron complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. You shouldn't have done that to me. You should have argued. Because you didn't rationally analyze the Nevuah.
Right.
In the Rambam say Avram spent 3 days making sure that he understood the Nevuah correctly by Keres Yitzchak?
I don't remember.
He says that?
In the Mora?
I could be wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I thought that's what the part of that he had 3 days to think it over. That was part of the travel. I could be misremembering though.
Okay.
Wait, what did you mean by when the Rav said that, like, the one of the problems is primitivism? Like, what do you mean by that?
He means like this. Like, people think that nevuah is a simple thing. I'm just giving that as one example. I don't know exactly what he had in mind. But I would say something like that. They look at it like an answer book.
Right.
Yeah, so, you want to take up something on Sri Soma?
Can I ask you a question on what you talked about Aaron?
Yes.
Yeah. So could you say that the two Rashi's about Bosh, that the first one was Aaron as a Gavra, and the second one was Aaron as the Shuliach to cause the Shechina to come? The first one, he thought maybe he wasn't worthy, so you're telling me to do this, so I'm not a worthy person. But now that he is doing it, the second Rashi is saying that I wasn't a good shliach because I didn't cause the Shechina to come down.
Correct.
And what's the difference between Aaron's being a Bosh and Klal Yisrael's? Rashi says Nechamti.
Yeah, he was embarrassed in front of Klal Yisrael. The first one was a hesitation. He hesitated.
Later on, Klal Yisrael themselves were embarrassed.
When the Shechina didn't come, maybe.
Yeah, what was that, Pasuk?
Hey, which one?
What's this Pasuk? Chaf Gimel.
Yeah.
So it says, V'omron with Moshe, the people came to Moshe, V'hayu Yisrael Nechwamim. They were ashamed.
Right.
And they said, well, we went through all this trouble to set up the Mishkan, and now the Shechina didn't come.
Right.
But what's the difference between their being ashamed and Aaron's being embarrassed?
Yeah, what do you mean what's the difference? Yeah, Aaron's being embarrassed was that he felt he wasn't right. And that Moshe Rabbeinu helped him out when he was in his power. But the people were complaining because they wanted Asher Shechina. And the answer, the reason why they didn't get it was because they didn't have confidence in Aaron. Two separate things, in other words.
They didn't relate to the Gavra that was chosen in the proper way.
That's right, exactly right, exactly. So the first two was about Aaron. One is Aaron hesitated.
So-called Aaron was the Shliach Hashem.
That's correct.
So they're not being maskim to that, showed their problem.
That's right. They're not appreciating Aaron as the Shliach Tzibur is what caused the problem. And the first one was hesitation. And he overcame that. The second one was where he felt he was a total failure.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't function at all. So there he needed tefillah. And the third one has to do with Klal Yisrael. The second one, the reason why he couldn't function was because he didn't have a proper evaluation of the self. The third one is that Klal Yisrael didn't have an evaluation of him. So it's three separate things.
One more point?
Yeah.
In Pasuk Beis of Perek Tes, so it says Kachuha Ego. So it says Lahodia Shechiper Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that he was already gave kapara to Aaron. It seems before this conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, and still he was Bosh.
That's correct.
So what a person needs more than kapara, to not feel the bosh?
No, in other words, yeah, but, you go ahead.
No, that's that. If you look, that was Moshe speaking to Aaron, not Hashem.
No, no, that was his feeling. That was Aaron's feeling. Was Moshe.
I understand, but I'm saying the tzivui that he gave, it was the tzivui. I mean, the instruction was from Moshe, not from Hashem.
Well, that was from Hashem to bring an eagle. That was the carbon that Coach Barker wanted. That was from Hashem.
Yeah, but I think it was Moshe speaking to Aaron. Am I wrong? And Dave?
No.
Well, what's the question? The question is because he says ego, well, dear, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is b'chapa avon ego, correct? Yeah, that we know that now. Now we can read it, we can understand it. But at the time, there are different possibilities.
Oh, you might think the ego could have been something else. You mean could have represented something else?
No, no, no. In other words, not represent something else. In other words, it's b'chapa avon ego if you accept it in the proper way, but it's not a magical thing. The God was machaper and boom, that's it. You have to be able to tie yourself to the kapara and to the tshuva in the proper manner.
So he must have done that. He was Bosch, or the Bosch was caused by, because he had to go through that whole process.
What do you mean by Bosch?
In words, he's told to do a carbon. And then before he does the carbon, so he says that he's Moshe had to say Karavo Mizbeach because he was Bosh and he was trying to convince him to come.
That's correct, but it's not. You don't understand the dynamics of it. You're trying to look at it in a simplistic way.
I'm trying to ask a question. I'm trying to understand it. I'm not looking at it in a simplistic way or not simplistic. I'm just trying to understand what.
The reason why the ego was chosen was to show that God is machapar. But in order for the kapar is not a complete kapar, and you forget about it. As a matter of fact, it says that the own ego is always there. So it's not such a simple thing. Depends how you relate to it. If you don't relate to it in the proper way, there's no kapar. It's a possibility for kapar. That's why the ego was chosen. But it's not definite that you finish with the own ego, that's it. Because, see, you never finish with the Avon Ego. The Avon Ego is always there. Uviyom Pakdi, Ufakati Alem Chatasim. But the Avon Ego is always there.
So certainly to Aaron.
What?
So certainly on Aaron.
Yes.
Further on, the Rambam tries to explain that point there. I think he once read it to us, but... So he says, V'tamzeh, they quote like the Medrash that Rashi is based upon. He says, V'tamzeh, ki bavor shahaya aron kadosh kadosh Hashem, vein benafsho hachet zulasi inyan ha'egel. It's like his only chet. Haya hachet ha'hu kavuah lo b'machshavto. Kmo shenemar v'chatasi negdi samed.
V'chatasi negdi. That's from Tehillim.
Right. V'hayaninmelo ki ilu tzuras ha'egel sham ma'akiv b'kaparosov. V'chaf amrlo, and that's why Moshe said to him, ha'geis da'itcha, shelo t'yesh shval ruach kol kach, shekvar ratza Hashem es masecha.
Wait, what's a living in?
So it seemed to him that the tzuras ha'egel there was ma'akiv his kapara. On the Mizbeach. I guess how the Medrash has it there, that he saw like, the tzuras ha'egel on the Mizbeach. And Moshe said to him, "Hageis daitcha." I guess like what you were saying, like said, pick yourself up psychologically. Shlo tiyeh shvaruach kol kach. You shouldn't be so such a shvaruach shekvar ratza Hashem et matzacha.
Because God forgave you, but he was really right. Totally devastated.
Right. I mean, it's important. Moshe saying it's like you're psychologically, or it's like too much psychologically. It's not appropriate.
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct.
Rabbi?
You have to know where to stop.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can you say that the story about his machlokas with Moshe later shows that he got out of it from the tefillah?
that he got out of it?
That he got out of that psychological state, and he was able to engage in the Mikdash rationally and take up that position of Kohen Gadol?
Well, we can't psychoanalyze Aaron Lapin. You don't see anything. It's two separate things. The fact that he was able to feel, to think rationally in halacha doesn't mean that emotionally he was able to act properly.
Mm-hmm.
Two separate things. I think if we try to unify those two things, we'd be going too far.
Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I found the place in the Mora where it discusses Avraham Avinu. But I think he's making a slightly different point there. He's making the point that when he received the command, he did not act out of immediately where it would have looked like it was out of emotion or confusion, but he pondered the matter for 3 days and to show that it was the product of careful thought.
That's good. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. He says, it's from Chilek Gimel Perek Chaf Dalet. So in the middle, I'll just read the English. He says, if the act by which he showed his readiness to kill his son had taken place immediately when he received the commandment, it might have been the result of confusion and not of consideration. But the fact that he performed it 3 days after he received the commandment proves the presence of thought, proper consideration, and careful examination of what is due to the divine command and what is in accordance with the love and fear of God. There is no necessity to look for the presence of any other idea or of anything that might have affected his emotions.
That's correct. So he had to think about it. 3 days.
Right.
And then he was satisfied. And he knew that it was all, that it wasn't a stubborn emotion. There was no emotion involved there. He was able to understand the Nevuah clearly. And the reasons for the Nevuah.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
There's a Rashi by Avraham Avinu after the Akedah. That after the Malach tells him to stop, you know, we know you're the most trusted one, and you believe in God. After you stop, Rashi says that Avraham asked, maybe I should just nick him so there's a little bit of blood, so that it's like I brought him up to the cave and he was shechted. So that's a hard Rashi to understand in light of this understanding that Moshe pondered it and understood everything that was going on. If that's the case, I mean, why would Rashi, you know, say that about Avram?
Say what?
He says that when the Malach told him to stop, God now knows that you're the most trusted one, you know, in the house. That he said that let me nick Yitzchak and I'll draw a little blood, and that will be as if I brought the Akedah. That will be as if I shechted it.
In other words, he'd be able to overcome the resistance to shechting by doing that. That's a separate thing. There's nothing in this area.
That's separate.
Separate.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so I think we'll stop here about that.